This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Two topics today, one involving kind of a nifty experience with a snapping turtle laying eggs in our recently disturbed excavated area near the pond that's growing in with weeds. And then the other is a terrific short piece that the Cornell Lab of Ornithology put out recently about learning how to distinguish the woodpeckers from their drumming, which I've never been very good at. Sapsuckers are pretty easy, but the others take a little more education. So here it is. This is a good little piece on learning what woodpeckers might be drumming out there. So I'm going to start telling the story of yesterday. We know we have a snapping turtle in our pond. We don't see it very often. We've always assumed she's a female, but it's been an assumption. We have decades of experience with this turtle, and we always see her leaving and disappearing for months at a time, and we figure she has to go far away in order to lay her eggs. And there she was yesterday in the morning. This would be June 6th, having dug out some dirt in a place about 15 feet from the pond edge. We left her alone, kept our distance from her, didn't want to disturb her. And then we thought, what are we going to do? So I started looking things up and found that the eggs have more scent 1 to 2 days after they're laid. And so this is the most dangerous time for raccoons to come and dig up the eggs. That's a huge threat for turtles. Are their eggs being dug up by raccoons and other scavengers? So I looked around online. I went to Turtles for Tomorrow, which is the Wisconsin-based turtle experts organization. And they do talk about building a structure for protecting the eggs, but that is also designed so that the young turtles can get out and get away when they hatch. And I looked at a few places, a few videos, and what we decided to do was we had 2x4s and we got a piece of hardware cloth that was just lying around. It was more than 2 feet by 2 feet. In fact, what we did was we built a frame out of 2x4s, 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet. And the hardware cloth fit real nicely, just happened to have it there. We were lucky with this whole thing. We wanted to get it done immediately. And then we cut openings for the little turtles to get out when they hatch along the bottom edge of one side of the square frame. We made those openings by tracing the end of a 2x4 scrap. We made 4 or 5 of those openings, cut that out with a bandsaw. That's where the little turtles will escape this cage. We screwed the whole thing together. And then we placed it over the pile of dirt that the turtle had left, oriented the openings toward the pond. We had a couple of heavy half pieces of cement blocks. They got put on opposite corners to weight the thing down. It's often suggested that you can use tent stakes. I think a nice flat rock would work better in a couple of spots on a heavy frame like this. They caution you not to block the sun from the buried eggs so that the temperature is right where the turtle wanted it to be. And that's what we did. The little turtles, in about 50 to 70 days, will emerge and find their way out. I'm going to keep an eye on the vegetation. There's a lot of weedy vegetation that's going to grow up. And I think of once in a while I might go cut that back so those tiny little turtles don't get hung up in that vegetation. I might even cut a path for them towards the pond so they have an easier path. And I don't think that'll disturb them any, as long as I'm not digging them up like a raccoon. So that's our story, and I'm sticking to it. It was fun. When we first saw that turtle, we thought, oh no, what are we going to do? But we did the right thing. I think it's kind of a fun project, even if you don't have turtles laying eggs, to make one of these things. If you ever hear about somebody needing a raccoon excluder, a turtle egg protector, you'll have it. There's so many raccoons and so few turtles that anything we can do to help is quite meaningful. I'll let you know how things go later on in the summer. I think sort of towards the end of July is when we could first expect these little turtles to emerge. The next thing I want to talk about is woodpeckers and how to identify them by their sounds, by their drumming. Woodpeckers don't have any kind of songs, and so their drumming is how they communicate. That's their song. And so this is from All About Birds, Cornell Lab of Ornithology. All About Birds is such a blessing. No charge, and tons of information. And it says, woodpecker drumming may not be as immediately distinctive as birdsong, but by carefully listening to speed, duration, and rhythm, you can still tell many species apart. Here are some tips. One of the first indications of springtime in North America is the rat-a-tat sound of woodpeckers drumming. Even on mild, sunny days in late winter, you may hear them trying out their drumming. Compared with the melody and tone of birdsong, drumming isn't quite as recognizable, but if you listen closely, you can still tell some woodpeckers apart from others. Woodpeckers can drum all year round, but there's a noticeable uptick during the spring months, roughly March through June, depending on your latitude. In woodpeckers, drumming serves the same function as song does for songbirds. It advertises a bird's or a pair's territory and helps attract mates. In most woodpecker species, both males and females drum. Anytime you hear a fast, extended sequence of loud pecks, that's drumming, and it's all about communication. They're not looking for food. In fact, during feeding, woodpeckers peck slowly and make only faint noises as they choose when and where to take their next strike. Listening out for these quiet, methodical pecking sounds can be helpful in tracking down a woodpecker as it's busy feeding. This also explains why you often see woodpeckers drumming on metal surfaces like streetlights, gutters, and garbage can lids. They're not confused about where their dinner is. They're looking to make the loudest possible sound. If you watch a woodpecker drumming on a dead tree, you'll often see it make minute adjustments in where it's pecking. Sometimes a slight adjustment results in a much louder, farther carrying sound. The classic woodpecker drum is a steady delivery of fast strikes on a hard surface. Many woodpeckers drum this way, so it may seem difficult to identify them to species. But take heart. Species that occur in the same regions of North America often sound different. It's especially important to pay attention to speed and duration of the drumming. Two of North America's most widespread woodpeckers, Downy and Hairy, are commonly found together. Listen for the faster pace of the Hairy to tell them apart. It can be really helpful to look at spectrograms while listening to audio recordings to help you pick out the details of the sounds. And they have a link that's labeled more on how to read spectrograms. Downy woodpeckers have a relatively slow delivery, about 17 beats per second. It sounds like you could almost count each strike as it comes through. Downy woodpecker drums are short, averaging about 0.8 seconds. And a little side note here, with all the drumming recordings I'm going to include, the intervals between the drumming is shortened. I'm shortening the intervals between the drumming just to save time. In reality, there's quite a bit of time between each drumming, so don't expect to hear a woodpecker drumming repeatedly like you're going to hear it now. This is the Downy. The very similar Hairy woodpecker drums faster, about 26 beats per second, and a bit longer, averaging 1 second, than Downy. It's impossible to count the pecs as they happen. You can see the difference in these spectrograms. The lines indicating each strike are packed together tighter than in the downy. This is the hairy. I'll run the downy again right now so you can hear the difference. And again, the hairy, more rapid. And one of my favorites, the sapsuckers. The closely related yellow-bellied, red-naped, and red-breasted sapsuckers, once considered a single species, have very similar drumming patterns. Fortunately, their breeding ranges have very little overlap. After the initial drum roll, they give double taps at irregular intervals that slowly space out. The double taps are so fast that on the spectrogram they almost look like a single strike. I've always thought that it's easy to recognize the sapsucker because it's irregular. The widespread pileated woodpecker has a distinctive drum befitting the bird's size and power. These crow-sized woodpeckers often drum on large trees and produce a deep, powerful sound. Pileated woodpeckers drum slowly, about 15 beats per second, with slightly faster sections at the beginning and end that create a sense of the sound building up and then fading away. The northern flicker recordings are hard to hear the drumming, but we're going to give it a try. They often vocalize while they're drumming. They'll drum a little bit, they'll vocalize, and they'll drum a little bit, and then they'll vocalize. So I'll play that. It's very hard to hear the drumming part, but you'll be able to hear what the vocalizing of the northern flicker is. You'll hear it vocalize twice and then drum twice. So I recommend going to All About Birds for many reasons. On the very opening page under Bird ID Skills, it says how to recognize woodpeckers by their drumming sounds. If this interests you, it's a good one to look at. Thanks to the people at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. They do so much for us bird lovers. And think about making a turtle egg protector cage. Look them up online. And then you'll be ready when you can help. On the Turtles for Tomorrow website, under Protection of Turtle Nests, it says, scientists estimate that if this high nest predation continues for a generation of turtles, some of the less common species may decline to levels that are unrecoverable, meaning the species will become extinct in the state, and common species may become much less abundant. There are some simple and proven nest protection methods that can be used to improve turtle nesting success. To protect a nest is often a very easy process involving only a small investment of time and money. If you find a turtle looking for a nesting site or in the process of nesting, be sure to stay well out of sight so the turtle will not abandon the effort. One challenge is waiting for the turtle to finish its work, which may last from 1 to 4 hours. Most turtles nest in the evening and may not complete the process for several hours, often after dark. The key is to protect the nest as soon as the turtle finishes refilling and packing the nest. Nest predators may dig up the nest immediately after the female finishes nesting, although some are bold enough to interrupt the process and may even kill and eat the female. Waiting until the next morning to protect the nest could be too late. And they go on to give tips on how to protect the nest. There's quite a bit of information online. I'm reading from Turtles for Tomorrow. The real experts here in Wisconsin run this website. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.